Well, I invite you to open to James chapter 1. And we'll go ahead and read, start off by reading chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. So I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's Word here from James 1, 19 through 21. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So, brothers and sisters, how have you generally matured spiritually over the years? Isn't it by taking in and living out God's Word by the power of the Holy Spirit? The transformative power of His Word applied to us by the Holy Spirit? That's certainly how it's been for me. In this section of the letter, James wants us to know how to grow in righteousness. He says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. He wants the righteousness of God to be more fully produced in us. And he lays out a map for this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is by resisting evil and being quick to receive God's word. The opposite of this approach, welcoming evil and resisting God's word, is the recipe for spiritual disaster. But James wants us to grow in righteousness, not to be spiritual disasters. And so he instructs us to be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger, to resist wickedness and filth, and to receive the word of God that's implanted in us. Have you ever been in a heated argument and you're not really listening to the other person, but you're over-talking him or her? You're quick to speak, quick to talk. You're not really listening very well. You're getting your two bits in and over-talking them, and you're giving in quickly to your anger. I seem to recall doing that with Katie not long ago. It wasn't good. Such an approach as that is a hindrance to understanding, to peace, and to maturation. It's a hindrance to a healthily developing relationship. It's a hindrance to a growth in righteousness when it's in reference to the Word of God. And so here in verse 19, James takes this general principle, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, and he applies it specifically to God's Word. What is it that he wants us to be quick to hear in this context? Well, it's the Word that's implanted. It's the Word of truth. If you look back in the verse right before this, verse 18, he says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the Word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That this Word of truth, this implanted Word, is what we are to be quick to listen to, quick to hear. And so he takes this general principle, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, and applies it specifically to God's Word, because he wants us to grow in righteousness by applying this. If you want to grow in righteousness, you must truly listen to God's Word. If you resist his Word by talking over it, so to speak, or getting angry with it, you will be hindered in your growth in righteousness. Now, many people do, sadly, argue with, make excuses with regard to, resist in various ways, shapes, and forms, whether it's more aggressively or more passively, but resist and talk over God's word in their hearts and minds and lives, and are even angry with it. Unbelievers do this, of course, but even believers give in to indwelling sin and resist God's word at certain points. It might be concerning a doctrinal matter that, to put it bluntly, you think you know better than God about. I've been there, And I can testify that when by God's grace I finally humbled myself and received his word at that point, I was wonderfully helped, freed, transformed in my mind and heart. It may be an ethical matter. You don't want to listen to him in. You don't want to submit to him in. Like sexual ethics, the earnest use of the time and the talents and the treasures that he's giving you for his glory. It may be the way that you treat other people, etc. When the Holy Spirit's convicting work has humbled me in such matters, I've always found his to be the way of peace and life and goodness. It may be a degree of emotional resistance to the fullness and freeness of his amazing grace and forgiveness to us who trust in him, who have his forgiveness and his grace through faith in Christ. He's pouring out his grace on us, drawn him to himself. He's covered our sins, and there may be a degree of emotional resistance to that. And we need to remind ourselves again and again of the glorious gospel we believe and rest secure in. Remind ourselves of what Christ has done for us, the grace in which we stand, his grace that has definitively answered our sins, and continue to rest deeply in his grace as we go through life. We need to pay specific attention also, brothers and sisters, to those places at which we sense in ourselves resistance to God's word, defensiveness, or anger even at the teachings of his word. Those places we need to pay attention to, they're danger signals to us. Those areas in which we need to be sanctified, they indicate areas in which we need to be sanctified. And we need to kill that resistance to his word, that temptation to overtalk it or not listen to it, or get defensive or make excuses or get angry with even. We need to kill that resistance that we sense in us at certain points to his word, and to humbly submit to his word, being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger as he speaks to us, as he ministers to us by his word, as we stand before his word and we hear it come, not just pounding as sounds on our eardrums, but penetrating to our hearts. We're quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger as he speaks to us and humbles us and ministers to us by his word. If a person never lets God's word overrule them, what they think or what they desire or how they live, if a person never lets God's word overrule them, you can know they're not really in a saving relationship with him. God is not like a Stepford wife. If you've ever seen that movie, for this illustration, Stepford wives with these robotic wives that somebody made up, that they were just yes women. They never would confront or go against the command of their husband in any way, no matter what it was. And so they were just robotic yes wives. And God is not like that. He's the one in control of us. We're under his authority. Some people have a conception of God like he's just this big yes man to do what they want. They've really sort of made God in their image as a kind of heavenly genie to bend to their will and wishes. Well, they've got it backwards, and that God is the one who's in authority. He's the Lord. We're under his authority. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. We're his creatures. We're those who have been saved through faith, and we're under his authority. So it's the other way around. God is not like a Stepford wife, and if there's no evidence of God's lordship in a person's life, that person can't be said to be born again. That's one of the things that happens in regeneration, is that we're given a new mind and heart that has a new disposition toward the Lord as our Lord and Savior. And we grow in being purified and sanctified in that, but there is a change at conversion. And so if there's no evidence of his lordship in a person's life, that person can't be said to be born again. But willingly submitting to God's word when some aspect of it, when some aspect of us doesn't want it, so when we willingly submit to God's word, even though it goes against what there's some aspect of us wanting, that's clear evidence of his lordship over our lives, where we deny that desire of the flesh and we submit to his word. That's evidence of his lordship. And James tells us that we're to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That we pay attention to his word, we don't overtalk it, and we're not angry with it. We accept it. And James says that the righteousness of God is produced in us by being quick to hear his word and receiving it in sincere faith. It's an inside-out growth. It's like Jesus' parable of the sower and the seeds and the soils. You know, the sower that takes the seed that represents the word of God, symbolizes the word of God, and sows it on different soils. And there's four different types of soils. One of the soils is that of genuine faith, and the other ones are various illustrations of a kind of hearing that isn't a hearing in faith. And so it either doesn't grow at all, or it sprouts up and withers, never taking a true root. And yet then there is one kind of soil, that is the soil that's receptive to the word of God in faith, in which the crop grows produces a harvest by the grace of God and the power of the word. Well, like in Jesus' parable of the sower and the seeds and the soils, some soil, conditioned as it is by the world, the flesh, and the devil, is inhospitable to the seed of God's word. But when the word is sown in fertile soil, a fertile soul, a born again and receptive heart of faith, it produces a crop of righteousness. And as we saw in the last section in James, the word of God is the objective medium or means that the Spirit uses in his regenerating work. So also, as we see in this section, the word of God is the objective medium or means the Spirit uses for our spiritual growth in faith. We grow in, relate to, and worship God through his word. That's why our worship services are so word heavy. We read and we preach and we listen to and we pray and we sing the word, as well as even see and taste it in the ordinances in a metaphorical sense. And in the ordinances, we have words of institution that go with them, explaining the illustration that we are engaged in as we take the bread and the juice as representative of Christ's body and blood. The words of institution go along with this. So our worship services are so word heavy and word saturated. We grow in and worship and relate to God through his word in the power of the Holy Spirit. And by God's word, which must be received and heard in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit, he makes a difference, a spiritual difference in our lives, and produces righteousness in us. Mere sound on eardrums isn't enough. So let me ask you, do you come to corporate worship with a heart tuned and ready to receive his word in faith? Do you generally relate to his word that way? That's how James is teaching us. That's how to be vitally impacted by it. Otherwise, it will do you no spiritual good. And so he goes on and he says, after he says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So here we see that what he's already talked about, this over-talking and getting angry with God's word, Here we see it's a species of all the general filth. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. That kind of anger or over-talking in relation to God's word is a species of the general filth and wickedness, which we must put away for our growth in Christ-likeness. Giving in to filth and wickedness does not produce the righteousness of God. It yields greater pollution rather than sanctification in the heart. Receiving with meekness, James says, and that can also be translated as humility, that word for meekness or humility. He says, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receiving with meekness and humility this word of God which is implanted. In us who have been born again, we have the word of God implanted. At regeneration, the word of God is implanted in our souls. And James says, receive with meekness the implanted word. He's writing to brothers and sisters in Christ. He's writing to believers, regenerate believers who have the implanted word in us. And so he says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to receive your souls. And this receiving with meekness, with humility, the implanted word is the way of growth in Christ's righteousness, in Christ's likeness, in the production of righteousness that he's just talked about. This word, this implanted word, is God's word with its gracious and glorious climax in the gospel, the good news of salvation for all who trust in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much he died for our sins to bring us to God. And this word, as I've mentioned, becomes implanted in a soul by the Holy Spirit at conversion, and then by continuing to humbly receive it, James says, receive with meekness the implanted word, by continuing to humbly receive it, a soul is transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ. And one day, such a soul will receive the crown of life. Notice how he's talked about this just the verse before. He says in verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. How is the righteousness of God produced? Well, it's by hearing, being quick to hear the word, by receiving the word. And so there's this growth in righteousness. A word for that is sanctification, being made more like Christ. And then he has also talked about in context, if you look back at verse 12, he says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Looking forward to the crown of life that we will receive in the future. And so by receiving with meekness the implanted word, meekness, humility, this teachableness of faith, this receptivity of faith, by receiving the implanted word, James says our souls will be saved. In what sense? Be saved in the sense of, as I've just mentioned, growth in righteousness, sanctification, unto the reception of the crown of life. You know, in Scripture, there are different senses of salvation, past, present, future. There's the sense in which we were saved at the cross when Christ atoned for our sins. And then there's the sense at which in which that was applied to us in our justification by faith at conversion. This definitive, Romans 5:1, we were just looking at that in Sunday school. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, have been definitive, happened at conversion, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a past sense of salvation. We were justified at conversion, and that is definitive and ongoing, eternally secure. There's also the sense of being sanctified. That's the ongoing work of being made more and more like Christ, which is another way of speaking of salvation, this ongoing becoming more like Christ. And then there's the sense of that reception of the crown on that day in which we enter into glory, enter into the reward Christ has won for us. And there's the sense in the future of glorification. So justification, looking back, sanctification, ongoing, glorification, future. There's this past, present, future senses of salvation. And they're not in conflict with one another. They're different senses to it, and they don't conflict with one another. And you have to understand what is being spoken of so that you don't get confused and think that our justification, for example, is based on our sanctification. It's not. Our justification is definitive based on the work of Christ through faith that we received at conversion. Our sanctification is the ongoing process of being made more and more like Jesus. And so when James says here, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness or humility the implanted word which is able to save your souls, what kind of salvation is he speaking of? Well, it's clearly something yet to be done. And so is not speaking of our regeneration, which he spoke of back in verse 18. It's not speaking of our regeneration or our justification at conversion. After all, James is writing to those he calls brothers. He's writing to brothers, those who have been born again, who are adopted, part of the family of God, have been justified. Rather, in this section, in this verse here, the salvation that James is speaking of, that this is able to save our souls, is in the sense of our growth in righteousness that he's just spoken of in verse 20, and the giving of the crown of life to us who do so persevere in accordance with that fruitful evidence of us having been regenerated and justified. And so when James says that this is able to save our souls, he's speaking here of our growth in righteousness, our growth in sanctification, unto the day that we receive the crown of life, for us who persevere, which are both evidences of us having been regenerate, having been justified, for whom Christ has atoned. And so James says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. By this resistance, mortification, this resistance of evil, saying no to evil, and humility and meekness, receiving the word which is implanted in our souls, we are sanctified unto that day that we receive the crown of life that has been purchased for us by Christ. And made ours in our conversion. So this passage, and we're going to go into next. I often will tell my boys is in relation to the scriptures. We both want to take in and live out the word of God. James is emphasizing the taking in, hearing, receiving the word of God. This next section, we'll talk more about that next time. Is this, he emphasizes the living out of the word of God, being doers of the word, not just hearers only. We'll talk more about that next time. But this is a wonderful passage to have, and I didn't, plan this out in relation to it being the first day of the new year, but this is a wonderful passage to have, come to us as we think about this new year, and as we anticipate the work of producing righteousness in us that God is going to do by his grace and the power of his Holy Spirit through his word. And also as we think about the discipline of reading the word, because when he says hear the word, it's not just sound coming on the eardrums or words coming to the eyes, but it's not less than reading his word or hearing it spoken, which needs to be heard and received in faith. But we need to be exposing ourselves to the Word of God, written and spoken and hearing and receiving it in faith as part of this process of our growth in righteousness through this ongoing reception of his Word. And so one of the great ways of doing that is through a daily Bible reading plan and program. And I know the first of the year for me is often a time where I think about doing that. And this year, my plan is I think it's 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and I didn't count them, but and then if you divide that up by 365, it's about 3 1/4. So if you read 3 1/4 chapters every day for for the year, you'd read through the Bible in a year. You know, half that, 2 years. And so if you read 4 chapters a day, that gives you about 2 makeup days a month, and you'll have read through the Bible in a year. And again, half that, you know, a two-year program. There's also, I copied off and put out there in the foyer, Robert Murray McShane had a reading program that he put together, and it goes through the Old Testament once, New Testament twice, maybe Psalms twice, I forget. But it's more than once, than just once through. It's Old Testament once and then New Testament twice, Psalms maybe twice as well. And if you want to grab one of those, I printed off about 20 copies, and I can make more if we run out. Feel free to grab one. It's on the table out there in the foyer. And today's the first, so it's a great day to start on an annual plan like that. And so one of the things is we're at the beginning of this new year, and a prayer for me and for you is that we would be even more receptive to God's word that's implanted in us. And I'm speaking to us brothers and sisters in Christ who have the word implanted in us. And so, of course, we have a desire to grow in righteousness. And may this year be one in which in every nook and cranny of our lives, we grow in righteousness. And may we take note of any points of resistance to God's word, any temptation to not listen to it or bypass it or talk quickly over it or even get angry with it. And in repentance, clean house and welcome God's word, be hospitable to God's word so that it dwells in our souls in such a way that it has full sway over us to make us more and more like Christ. Let the word of God dwell richly in you this year. And one wonderful discipline, as I've mentioned for that, is daily Bible reading. And so the plan out there can help you. If you think 4 chapters, my plan for this year is 4 chapters a day and reading through in sequence. There's many different ways you can go about it, but being in the Word, and not just in the Word in a rote or routine way, but in the Word by faith, meeting with God in His Word, hearing this is God's Word speaking to us and receiving it in every nook and cranny of our life. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, through this word received, we are made more and more like Christ. Righteousness is produced in us for the glory of God. And so, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the gift of salvation in Christ. And we thank you for your spirit dwelling in us and the word that you have given to us in the scriptures and that's implanted in our hearts by the spirit that we love and have welcomed into our hearts through faith. And I pray that you would help us this year to grow in our hearing, but not just external hearing, but hearing in faith so that you might produce in us a greater harvest, greater production of righteousness. And so be glorified in our lives. And pray that you would minister to us with all the grace and wisdom and holiness of your word, that Christ would be more and more formed in us, and that we might be then more joyful, and you might be more glorified in our lives. And so I pray that you would help us this year to do that, and that by your Spirit, by your grace, you would bring it about. And as we turn to your word now, I pray that as we taste and see your word in parabolic form, in this illustration, this ordinance, along with the words of institution, that you would minister to our hearts and minds once again this morning and do this very work of growth of righteousness in us by your word, your gracious and wise and holy word, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.